you've been following the news over the last few weeks, you'll have noticed a lot of growing anxiety around the state of the stock market due to concerns around the novel coronavirus. The Dow Jones, a major industry index, dropped more than 9.3% during this morning's opening hour of trading, and the S&P 500 fell enough this morning that it triggered an industry-wide trading pause. In an effort to keep the market stable, it was just announced today that the Federal Reserve will inject $1.5 trillion into lending markets and will buy roughly $60 billion worth of Treasury bonds for the next month. For people who aren't experts in the market, we might get the gist that the Dow going down is bad. But what is the Dow? What goes into the number? And is it the best way to measure the health of the stock market or the overall economy? Bjorn Urakker is the Bill Nygren Chair of Investments and Professor of Finance at the Wisconsin School of Business at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Bjorn, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, before we get into some Dow 101, just what's your reaction to the market's a little bit of ups and a whole lot of downs over the last week or two?
So the market was down 10% today, which is the largest percentage drop since 1987. And so it's a pretty dramatic loss. It comes on top of the other losses that we had previously this month. So in total, we're down about 30%. So it's a significant loss.
So what goes into that number? We hear it every day on the news, NPR. They'll end their newscast every time with what the Dow did. They might throw in the S&P 500. They might throw in NASDAQ. Always the Dow. What does the number mean?
So the Dow is essentially, you can think about it as a portfolio of 30 different stocks. The stocks are largely big blue chip companies, Microsoft, Apple, and so forth. And these stocks have prices, and obviously they trade at a given point in time. The Dow essentially measures the value of this portfolio of these 30 stocks, and it's used as a measure of what the overall market is doing at a given point in time. If you log into your retirement account or if you look at your stock market portfolio, you will find that on a given day, it probably went in the same direction as the Dow or the S&P 500 because stocks are heavily correlated. And so if you have a portfolio of stock in your retirement portfolio, it probably went in the same direction as the Dow. If the Dow goes down 10%, the likelihood is that your stock market portfolio probably suffered a similar, maybe smaller, maybe bigger, but a similar size loss.
And the roster of companies on the Dow has changed a lot over the years, right? The original Dow roster, most of those companies are no longer with us.
That's correct. So right now, as I said, we have companies like Boeing, Apple, Microsoft, Johnson & Johnson, and so forth. And obviously these companies weren't around 100 years ago when the Dow was still being computed off of obviously a different basket of companies.
Who picks? Who says this is a Dow company, this one isn't?
Oh, I honestly do not know. This is computed by, it's a private company that computes it, and they can compute whichever one they want. But they are largely large cap blue chip companies that trade on the NYSE. There's a couple of other ones, including Walgreens, Microsoft, which trades on NASDAQ and so forth. But they're largely New York Stock Exchange companies. The S&P 500 is a larger, more broadly based index that consists of 500 different stocks. And this is the one that I think nowadays most people pay more attention to. But again, that is the 500 biggest stocks in the U.S. stock market, and they're value weighted, meaning that they are the weight that they make up in the index is proportional to their market capitalization.
Bjorn Urakker is with us from UW-Madison's Wisconsin School of Business. We're looking at the Dow and other indicators of the stock market and the economy. Bjorn, as you said, the Dow gives us a pretty general sense of what might be happening in someone's retirement account or investment portfolio. Are there limits as to what the Dow can tell us about the stock market?
Are there limits? Well, it's a pretty good indicator. Like I said, you know, if the Dow goes down 10% like it did today, the likelihood is that if you have stocks, you lost money. You may not be 10%, but it may be, you know, something smaller or larger than that. But it is a pretty good indicator of what's happening. You see today the S&P is down about the same amount, about I think about 9.5%. You know, these things move in lockstep pretty much.
And then there are questions, you know, sometimes people use the Dow as a metaphor, an indicator of the American economy as a whole. To what extent does that work? To what extent does it not work?
Well, that's a good question. I think the stock market has a tendency of looking forward. So right now, there's a lot of uncertainty. We don't know exactly what's going to happen with the state of the economy as we go forward, as we go through this crisis. And it's the problem is, since we don't know, we know for a fact it's probably going to lead to a recession. We just don't know exactly how long and how deep that recession will be. And so the stock market as a whole will respond negatively to this. And as a result, the prices have gone down significantly since just a month ago when they were at all-time highs.
You mentioned go ahead.
Yeah. No, so it is a pretty good indicator of what investors think is going to happen in the future. You know, it's not always, you know, an accurate indicator, but it is an indicator, and it's important in itself, because if prices go down and volatility goes up as much as it has, then it becomes difficult for companies to go out and finance their activities.
You mentioned volatility, and you told our producer about an index that I wasn't familiar with that measures volatility, the VIX or the VIX, yeah. or maybe it's Roman numerals, 5, 1, 10, I don't know. But the VIX index, what does that tell us?
So the VIX index is largely interpreted as a measure of annualized volatility. What's volatility, you might ask? And volatility is generally the amount for which you can expect the stock market, in this case, the S&P 500 index, to move up and down from one day to the next. So, for example, if we can expect a move up and down to be 1%, we say that the volatility or standard deviation, which is a statistical concept, but the standard deviation or volatility of the stock market is 1%. So historically, the standard deviation of the S&P 500 is 1%. Now, the volatility varies over time, so that when, like now, we have periods with very high volatility, this measure, any measure of volatility that you construct, will be higher than average. And right now, the VIX is at 75 or 76 was the closing value for the VIX today. And which means that it is extremely volatile. The normal range for the VIX, the average value of the VIX historically is about 19 or 20. If you go back just a couple of months ago, it was in the teens. It was in the low teens and has been as low as below 10. And now it is at 76, which we haven't seen levels like that since 2008. In fact, so it's indicative of a very volatile, very nervous market, and it's indicative of the fact that prices change very dramatically from one moment to the next, one day to the next.
Yeah, while you were talking, I just pulled up a chart of the last 5 years of the VIX index. I wish I could show it on the radio. This is a huge jump over the last, weeks here, a few days even. Even if I didn't know anything, I would look at this chart and say, this means something.
Yeah, it means something. The interpretation of it, if you divide it by, you know, like my interpretation, one day to the next, the interpretation of it, it's so-called annualized, which means that it's interpretable as an annualized quantity. So that 75 means that, you know, the market interprets the current environment as if the prices could go down 75% in a year. or up 75%. So that's the idea of a standard deviation. So the VIX now is at the highest level. It's, like you said, it's gone up significantly now, just in the last several days, since this coronavirus epidemic became a problem. And now it's at record levels, and it's indicative of a very, very nervous market. And, so we can probably expect it to remain high for a while until we get some kind of resolution of the uncertainty.
Talking to Bjorn Aracher, Bill Nygren, Chair of Investments and Professor of Finance at the Wisconsin School of Business at UW-Madison. He's with us to explain the Dow Jones and stock market volatility in light of the panic over the coronavirus. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question over how the overall stock market works, what it means when it goes up and down, what measures like the Dow, the NASDAQ, the S&P 500, this VIX volatility index we've been talking about, what they mean, how they work? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Please note, we're not taking calls about specific financial, investment, or portfolio advice. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about the stock market, how it's being impacted by fears surrounding the novel coronavirus, and how to look at market volatility. Bjorn Aracher is with us from the UW-Madison's Wisconsin School of Business. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions about how the stock market works, what the indexes like the Dow Jones or S&P 500 work, what it all means. Call in at 800-642-1234. Again, we'll not be taking calls about individual investment advice. Let's go to your calls now. Kevin is with us in Black Earth. Kevin, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to ask about, Kevin?
Yeah, here's my question. When things like this are happening, and they occur, as we know, now and then, who's doing the buying of these stocks that people are trying to sell off, hoping to, you know, hold the value that they have? Who's buying them when you buy one, or one day they go down 4%, now today 10%? Who's gambling on that?
Kevin, thanks for the call. Bjorn, any thoughts?
Well, there's always going to be a buyer for every seller. So when so Kevin is right about to ask the question. At a given point in time, there's always going to be buyers in the marketplace, so for that reason, it's sort of a misnomer to call it a sell-off. But he's right. I don't know the specific individuals who were buying today. I can tell you, I bought some Amazon stock the other day myself, and it hasn't been a very good investment. But at any given point in time, there will be buyers out there. There may be other individuals. There may be computers. There may be companies, pension funds, whomever trade stock on a regular basis.
Thanks a lot for that call. So the idea would be, if I'm that buyer, as things go down, I'm assessing the current market and saying, okay, I think it's bottoming out or near bottoming out. So this is a smart time to buy it because it's going to go back up. Those are the people out there buying, even as the prices are going down. Is that a fair, probably overgeneralization?
Well, it's a simplification,
right?
Obviously, but at a given point in time, there may be other people buying and selling and trying to make money doing that. So there's always going to be buyers out there. For that reason, right, some people at this point may want to try to buy something cheap.
Thanks a lot for that call. Back to your calls now. Brian is with us in La Crosse. Brian, hi.
Hi. Thanks for the show. Not concerned. Is more so just the question about the end. When the coronavirus finally starts to ebb, because it is a viral thing and it will end and this will all be history, how long is it going to take for the stock market to get back to where the volatility is, you know, what we expect to be normal, and the stock values returning to their what should be appropriate levels, especially considering all the changes that are taking place in transportation, the NCAA championships being canceled, sports venues being canceled. I mean, the economy is taking a massive, massive hit. And then you factor in a 14-day quarantine for people that do get infected by this. We're talking potential loss of wages and stuff. So how long-term are the implications of this, and to what degree should we, or when should we see the stock market rally?
Brian, thanks for the call. Bjarne, I won't ask you to predict the future, but how do you try to answer a question like that?
Well, I think that's the that's the $100 question, or maybe like a $100 trillion question that everybody is interested in, because if we knew the answer to the college question, I think we'd all be trying to trade on that. But the problem is that we don't know the answer. So we don't know what the economic impact of this coronavirus epidemic is going to be. We don't know how long it's going to last. We don't know how many people are going to be affected. And more importantly than that, even, we don't, for the state of the stock market, we don't know how deep the recession is going to be and how long it's going to last. So, and with these kind of uncertainties, there are always these kind of unforeseen things that will happen in the wake of this. What kind of companies will survive, which ones will not survive, and so on and so forth. So it's very difficult to answer that question. And this is why, to a large extent, why prices are going down.
As our caller said, the economy is taking a massive hit. And it makes me wonder, is it just that the coronavirus in and of itself is that bad and creating that much uncertainty? Or is this something that might be revealing flaws, problems that are already there in the market, that it was overvalued? How would you assess something like that?
Well, it's hard to say, was it overvalued? Probably it was. The valuations were very high before this happened. I've been skeptical of what's been happening with stock prices for the last several years. But of course, there was always the potential that it would fall a lot, given that the prices were so high to begin with. If you go back a month, they were at an all-time high. And of course, that creates the possibility of the prices going down dramatically. But I think the main problem here is the uncertainty about how this will impact the real economy. What kind of a recession will we have come out of this, and how long is it going to last? So I think that is the fundamental uncertainty. I think the market would have gone down even if it wasn't extremely high to begin with, given this news, obviously.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Bjorn Erocker from the UW-Madison, Wisconsin School of Business. Back to your calls now. Steve is on the line in New Glarus. Steve, hello.
Hello. Yes, I have a question. I'm a disabled veteran, and I'm 100% disabled. I can't go back to work anywhere. My income is all in the one income I have is in the local bank here and in the credit union. And I'm just a little concerned about how safe are the banks and the credit unions right now.
Steve, great question. Go ahead, Bjorn.
Yeah, banks are insured there's no reason to be concerned about bank deposits. This is not a financial crisis. This is not a banking crisis. And even if it was, the banks are insured by the federal government, so your savings are fine.
All right. Thanks. I hope that helps you relax at least a little bit. Thanks for that call. Eric joins us now in Madison. Eric, hello.
Hi. I know one thing. When the market goes up, it affects me very little. But when it tanks, the effects are exponential. We're all going to be doomed, I think. Thanks.
Okay, Eric, thanks for the call. Eric, worried that when things start to crash like this, a lot of people are going to feel the brunt in terms of maybe job losses, things like that. Bjorn, how worried should we be?
I don't think it's going to get that bad. I think we're going to have a recession. I think this virus and the crisis is going to be over. I don't think I want to pile on to the doomsday talk about this. So
are there, as you look at efforts by the federal government, are there things that historically in a situation like this, if we can compare one situation to another, are there efforts that historically seem to pay off in limiting the damage from market drops and market uncertainty like this?
Well, what they usually will do is to lower interest rates, but we're at a point now the rates are only at 100 basis points or 101%. They're probably going to lower the rate to zero shortly, and it's probably not going to have a whole lot of effect on the stock market. So the big uncertainty now is how do we deal with the pandemic, and how quickly can we recover, and how quickly can we get back to work?
Bjorn, as we wrap up, can you give us a couple tea leaves you're watching for to see how this is going to play out in the future?
Well, I think today was extreme. I really do think so. Oftentimes, what you see when the market drops dramatically like it did today, you can go back and look at historically what happened in other crisis periods. If you look at the day after the crash of 87, the market recovered quite a bit. The same after the crash in 1929, we had some big bounce backs, and it may well happen here. But you know, this volatility that we experience now, I think, is going to be here to stay for a little while until we figure out how to stop this pandemic. But if the better estimates of where we are at the top of that, when we get on top of the pandemic, I think things are going to level off. Volatility is going to go down, and the prices are going to recover.
Bjorn, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Bjorn Aracher is the Bill Nygren Chair of Investments and Professor of Finance at the Wisconsin School of Business at UW-Madison. He was with us to talk about what the Dow Jones and other major indices are and what they say about our current economy.